Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, I was very conscious, not only in my own spirit, but in hearing about others, is how much the enemy has oppressed. I believe every time we move forward, every time the Lord begins to work in us and we sense His working, the enemy goes to work as well. And isn't it something that even though we know and have heard so many times the truths relating to this, when it comes to real life, we still go right down into the same valleys? And it's like, you know, and my reaction to that is, well, my God, here we need to preach the same things we've been preaching over and over and over and over again, and we do, but we need the Lord to really get in it and intervene so that we could actually move forward. I believe we are. I believe He's helping us. But, you know, we need to realize, again, how it works. Last week, I think we talked about how God puts gold in the fire to burn away the stuff that isn't going to last, so that the stuff that will and is worth something is purified. And He certainly is doing that. But Lord, we need to realize, I believe in a deeper sense, what it is that God has called us to, and to seek God. And it's not just for ourselves, but for one another. I believe we're doing that, but I believe God wants to take us further. We've had so many references recently to God taking us to higher ground. We need to know what that is, because there is a cost. There is a price to pay to serve God in this broken world. When Jesus talked about following Him, did He not say that you need to count the cost? That was a very clear message. It wasn't like this is going to be a breeze. This is going to be, you're going to step out of a difficult world into a wonderful, glorious, easy, comfortable life, and then you're going to go to heaven one day. It's often the opposite, and we need to realize that, and I believe we need to grow in grace and with this understanding. But I believe we need to see this whole business in a deeper light than perhaps we have, because everything about the kingdom of God could not be more contrary to human nature. And it's awfully easy for us to go along and not realize how much we are living and reacting according to the old nature. And God sees and He knows. And fortunately, He understands and is very patient with working with us and helping us to set us free. And we come kicking and screaming a lot of the time. I mean, you know, you think about it. When I was thinking about it the other day, here I am. I've preached this stuff, and here I am, listening to the wrong voice and sort of sunk down. What I'm thinking about, of course, is me. Life is all about me. Didn't you know that? Yeah. This entire world, this universe revolves around me. I mean, you know, forget about you guys. No, but that's human nature. That's how we all think when you break it right down. Even people that are known for their charitable works. If you really broke it down as God sees the motives of the heart, you would find self at the center somehow. Whether it's self-righteousness, trying to make up for guilt, whatever it is, there's something there that where self is on the throne, or it's seeking recognition for all this wonderful stuff I'm doing. God help us, and He is. So God's going to have to put something together, or else I'm not going to be up here very long. But anyway, my thoughts went to something that Paul taught and emphasized on his first missionary journey. You know, he and Barnabas on that particular journey set out. They were anointed. They were chosen of God. It was by revelation they went out. I mean, God literally spoke supernaturally, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas. I've called them to do something." And so they set out on this journey, went from city to city, and began to preach. And because of God's, I believe it was appropriate that wherever they went, they first went to the synagogues, because the promises of the Scriptures had been given to the Jews. It was never for them alone, but God didn't want to just bypass them. This is what the Old Testament has been about, was Paul's message everywhere. And he went through and he said, we are preaching the fulfillment of what God spoke through all the prophets. And these words were sent to you. And so we want to bring you the good news of what God has done. And of course, then he had to tell them what happened in Jerusalem and how the religious leaders rejected the one that was sent. They crucified him. But God raised him from the dead, and we're here to tell you all about it, and we're here to preach a forgiveness of sins that you cannot find under Moses' law. This is so much deeper. There is a putting away of sin once and for all through the gospel, where you had to keep on going time after time. You could never get a clear conscience through Moses' law. But now the promise of God has come. And in every place there was a division among the people. I'll tell you, the gospel is a great divider. When people hear it, they either say yes and they surrender to it, or they go their way and they wind up among the lost. And so in every place where they went, there was this division. And many of the Jews, some of the Jews would stick with Paul and learn more, and others would get jealous of all the attention that Paul and Barnabas were getting. And so first thing you know, there was persecution stirred up in every place. But in every place, Paul reached out not only to the Jews who would listen, but to the Gentiles. And they had crowds coming. One place it said almost the whole city gathered. And so you had this dynamic going on of a message that divides, and a persecution and opposition being arising against Paul and Barnabas. And so they went to... You know, one of these occasions was when he was stoned and left for dead. I mean, literally, how would you like to be preaching the gospel and all of a sudden they take you out and they stone you and it looks like you are dead, and then the crowd takes and drags your body out of the city and dumps it and leaves it believing you have died? Would it be worth it to serve God? Yeah, we say yeah because we know to say yeah, but emotionally that's not so easy, is it? But here was Paul willing to do that, and it doesn't say anything other than the disciples gathered around him, and he got up and went back into the city and continued to preach. Seriously? I mean, this is an amazing call that was upon that man's life. So anyway, they reached the point where, all right, this journey, we believe, has come to an end. And what they did was to backtrack through all the places where they had already preached and been persecuted. But they went back to encourage the believers. They went back to appoint elders. I mean, you know, you didn't have this great, long, drawn-out process. These were brand-new Christians. And in every place, you know, that God was able to put his hand upon some that were a little bit wiser, a little bit more mature, and could help to watch over, like big brothers who were able to watch over others and encourage them to walk together. But one of the main messages that he said was recorded in Acts chapter 14. I don't know how much scripture I'm going to actually turn to, but we'll see. Like I say, this is very not organized, but that's okay. So anyway, they preached the gospel in that city, verse 21, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Now here's the key here's the key message. What would you want people to know? What message would you want to leave with people in your encouragement as to how to stand and what this is all about? His message was this: we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas, then it says, they appointed elders and so forth, with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord. But think about the essence of what Paul was saying. Think about how that contrasts with the message of what it means to come to God that you hear in so many places today. Come to God and you'll be blessed. Your life will be smooth. God will prosper you. This prosperity gospel, it is so utterly foreign to the scriptures. But here is a message where if you're going to follow him, it's going to be a hard way. You will experience opposition. And you might as well get ready for it. It isn't necessarily outward persecution, but folks, if we are sailing into and against the wind, should we not experience some of that? We ought to be encouraged rather than discouraged if we experience the opposition of Satan, however it comes. We should be saying, hey, Satan is concerned here. It's not that he's concerned about me as a human being. He's concerned because God is beginning to get a little bit more of an influence in my life, and I'm beginning to matter in this world. You know, we're called to an amazing gospel. And a lot of times we have emphasized how God has to work in us. There's so much in us that is there naturally that is in the way. It becomes a contest in a way where we have this brand new life that's imparted. Like we said so many times, religion cannot do this. No form of self-effort can accomplish what the gospel is meant to accomplish. I don't care. We have to come to a place of surrender, of letting him have our heart and our life so that he can change it, because he's the only one that can. But once we start down that road, our rest of our life, you're going to live in a world that is absolutely opposed in every possible way to what God means to accomplish. God has ordained that it be this way. This is absolutely central to what he means for us to be. Now, I'm not saying anything we haven't said many times before, but I kind of want to take it a little bit further, if the Lord will help me. But you know, we've emphasized so many times how there are things in us that he needs to change. And you know, you think about hardships and things that happen in the spirit. Many times there are things that are happening in your heart. I believe there's people right here today that you're struggling. And you've experienced a lot of pressure. And there's opposition, and Satan has planted thoughts in your heart about yourself and who you are. Yeah, isn't that kind of like normal? That's where we're at, folks, in so many ways. But you know, we think about hardships in the spirit are a little bit vague. It's awful easy to go around and put a smile on your face and not be seen. But I'll tell you, you think about someone in the natural world and they're having to fight through a storm. It's like saying, if you're going to get to the destination I have for you, you're going to have to go through some storms. You're going to have some winds and waves when you cross the water. You're going to have hurricane force winds blowing against you at times. Yes, there'll be times when it's calm and quiet and peaceful. But don't you be dismayed when the winds blow and the storms come. You know, one of the things that I found, and the Lord seemed to draw my attention to it, it's nothing new really, but as I was beginning to feel some of the feelings that I know you experience as well, it was like all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I am loved and chosen before the foundation of the world. I am seated with him in heavenly places. Devil, who do you think I am? It's not who I am as though I'm important, but it's what God has done. And here's one of the things that we need to realize is that when we are in those times when we are giving in to, everybody can have negative thoughts, but when we sort of embrace them and begin to give in to self-pity, when we begin to give in to, you know, oh, I'm so bad. I mean, that could be part of it. Oh, I'm such a failure. I'm this, I'm that. Who are we listening to? There's a wisdom that is coming into our hearts and minds. Where is it coming from? It's coming from Satan, who, of course, always tells the truth, doesn't he? No. See, that's the thing. You know, Revelation 12 talks about the accuser of the brethren, and we think, oh, he's accusing me of sin. This is an accusation that you're worthless. You just proved it by what you just did. God couldn't care about somebody like you. You're a failure. You have no hope. On and on and on and on the lies go. And the more we yield to that, and of course, The thing is, if you are already tired, as some of us are, we're getting a little bit older, and there's infirmities that begin to kick in, and now all of a sudden you got something else to deal with. You know, I'll tell you, right to the point where we turn up our toes, we're going to have things that will oppose what God is doing in our lives. And instead of those things being our enemy, God is actually using them to accomplish what he wants. But of course, when we're in the middle of it, we don't see it that way. And so we're sitting there fighting, we're sitting there fussing, we're sitting there giving in, and all of a sudden, all of our attention becomes focused on us. And so that was the thought, that was one of the thoughts that the Lord brought to my mind, particularly concerning me. It's like, wait a minute, let's step back from this scene a little bit. I'm sitting here feeling sorry for myself, living in this little negative fantasy, whatever it is, whatever the particular issues were. And who am I listening to, and what is he basically telling me that I am? He is absolutely attacking my identity in Christ. The reality is every one of us has shortcomings. Every one of us is in ourselves weak. Every one of us is unworthy. None of us does it, gets it all right all the time. But thank God that he has given us a perfect Savior. One who has taken every bit of that into account before he ever saved us, knowing what our needs were. Oh my God, what he's done for us. We got to step back and say, wait a minute. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. It wasn't by any virtue of in me. And the message of the gospel is not that he has built a bridge that takes us almost to the other side if we can just build the rest of it. It goes all the way. But the price of going on that bridge is surrender. To where I recognize, I hear the call of the gospel that reminds me of what I truly am in myself and how much I need him. I have no way to expunge the guilt or the weaknesses or all the things that are wrong with me. All I can do is lay them at his feet and repent. And turn around and say, oh God, save me. Give me a new life and a new heart. Do what is needed in my life. Lord, fill me with what you've given me. Oh, what an answer for the devil. To the devil. And he's angry. He knows his time is short. That was what the Lord was trying to give me a picture of. Let's examine the players in this little drama here. You got a devil who knows better than we do how perfectly he was defeated at the cross and at the empty tomb. He knows his time is short. The scripture says in that very passage, he is angry. He's come down having great wrath. Why? Because he knows he has a short time. Do you sense that in the world? We have a satanic spirit that is seeking to absolutely destroy this country through division and the world. So many things. I'm not going to get off into that. But I'll tell you what, we are in a world the devil is absolutely throwing out everything that he can, every weapon that he can to destroy, to confuse, to do what he can while he can because he knows his time is short. Oh, I love the line in the old Martin Luther hymn, "One little word shall fell him." Think about a tree that's being felled. All God has to say is, it's over. And he's done. He's done. He's fulfilling a divine purpose right now. Oh, God's sons and daughters are growing up having to learn how to stand, not because we're anything in ourselves, not because of what we can do in ourselves, but because of his grace that we open our hearts to, and it fills us with something that he cannot stand against. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you where I fall down, and I think all of us do at times. I know we do. None of this is for condemnation. We all experience these things. But, oh, don't we need to step back like the Lord helped me to do the other day and say, let's look at what's going on here. Look at who I am because of what God has said and what he's done. I got to go by what he says, not by what the devil says or what I think even. I mean, if I look at myself, I'm not going to find anything to find any I'm not going to find any basis for hope or confidence. The further I go, the less confidence I have in myself. And that's an awesome thing because it turns my heart to Him where my only hope comes from. And that's a perfect hope. Praise God. Praise God. And so now I can come to a place where instead of sitting there and just drinking and wallowing in those lies about who I am and how bad I am and how hopeless life is and what did I do to deserve this, and you know, I've been trying so hard and it's getting harder and it's getting worse. Something must be bad wrong. And here's Paul going around saying, we must through many difficulties, whatever it was in that particular passage. Yeah, I've got it right here. Hardships. Ah, there we go. Through many hardships must enter the kingdom of God. Oh, I'll tell you, those hardships drive us, if we react correctly, instead of driving us into, depression or whatever, they need to drive us to the Lord and say, oh God, you know all about this. You know, we mentioned several weeks ago how in all of these things, God will always make a way. The Lord will make a way. Yeah, He always, that's His promise. Oh, we need to be going to Him and rising up. But as, like I think I've said this before, but how many times, if we're really honest and we're in a hard place, we're kind of a little resentful? Now it's quiet. Did I touch a nerve? Yeah, isn't that a human reaction? Yeah. Because after all, if the universe revolves around me and something bad is happening, that's not good. And yet in God's economy, it may be exactly, it is exactly the thing that I need.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.